according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When a large crowd gathered, with people from one town after another journeying to Jesus, he spoke in a parable. A sower went out to sow seed. As he sowed, some seed fell on the path and was trampled, and the birds of the sky ate it up. Some seed fell on rocky ground, and when it grew, it withered for lack of moisture. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. And some seed fell on good soil, and when it grew, it produced fruit 100-fold. After saying this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear." Then his disciples asked him what the meaning of the parable might be. He answered, "Knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of God has been granted to you, but to the rest they're made known through parables, so that they may look but not see, and hear but not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those on the path, the ones who have heard, but the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts that they may not believe and be saved. Those on rocky ground are the ones who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, but they have no root. They believe only for a time and fall away in time of temptation. As for the seed that fell among thorns, they are the ones who have heard, but as they go along, they are choked by the anxieties and riches and pleasures of life, and they fail to produce mature fruit. But as for the seed that fell on rich soil, they are the ones who, when they have heard the word, embrace it with a generous and good heart and bear fruit through perseverance." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We come to the incredibly important parable of the sower and the seed. St. Luke's Gospel, which describes the receptivity that we have toward God's action in our life, toward His Word, toward His work, toward the people He sends us, toward the events of the day. It's all summed up by these four different types of responses, symbolized by the four different types of soil. We've had a chance, as we went through St. Matthew's Gospel a little bit earlier, to ponder these four soil samples. I'd like to just give a brief summary of what we discovered then, and then apply it to what Our Lady herself described at the top of the French Alps to these two seers and the apparitions at La Salette, and then also a little bit to St. Januarius, whom the Church remembers today, and to us. Four soil samples. First is the hardened soil. It's really stubborn resistance to the Word of God. This doesn't mean merely those who are hardened through sinfulness, but it also means those who are hardened through routine, when God can't change them anymore, where they've heard that before, where they've been doing this for such a long time, that they're just continually going in a routine without the Lord's being able to deepen or change them in any way. There are many who are like this, including many people with holy habits. The Lord wants us always receptive to what He is doing in us at each moment, because the devil is constantly working to try to rob that seed. In one of my prayers before I enter the pulpit, it's less urgent here than it has been in other places, but I've always prayed that St. Michael would defeat the devil's attempt to steal the seed that God would be proclaiming through me in the proclamation of the gospel. because he's always at work, so that it's just another gospel. It's just another homily. And I'll blow that sucker off just the same way I've blown all the others off. Nothing can really change me. Second type of soil is this superficial soil. It's a superficially responsive approach to God's action. First, it's joy-filled. We find pleasure in the Word of God. We make some vague resolutions, but never really put in the effort to live by those resolutions. This type of soil, as I've described before, was that very thin layer with a thick layer of limestone underneath it, so that the water would come down, it would be there for the roots to spring up immediately, but then it would get scorched because the water would evaporate in that very small level of soil quickly. And there are many who respond to the Word of God this way. They listen to be pleased. They listen perhaps to learn something. They're grateful when the Lord gives them an insight in their prayer. But at a basic level, it doesn't change them because they're not receiving it as a word to be done, as a word to change their life forever, as a word that's supposed to have almost a nuclear reaction in us and through us, mushrooming throughout the world. Third type of soil. It's what we could call fearfully or hedonistically distracted. It's the thorns. They're planted. It's otherwise good soil. Could bear mature fruit, but it bears immature fruit because basically it gets choked either by the fears that one person's carrying or by the this worldly desires. I always like to say, it's very tough to preach at a funeral. The priest has got to know how to do it, because otherwise everybody's just so distracted by the death of the loved one, worried perhaps about what's the next step. So many other things are choking whatever a priest says that the priest has to go beneath in order to be able to catch their attention with the Word of God, so that all those cares can be filtered through the proclamation of the Word. It's the only way to do that type of work. Likewise, when people are all filled with pleasures, and I remember once celebrating a mass for a sports team right before the event, and it was a big game. It was quite obvious they were all just thinking about the game. They weren't thinking about being strengthened by the Lord, because sometimes those can dominate our thoughts. And so we receive what the Lord's doing in a distracted way, either by those pleasures or by those fears. And the Word of God doesn't produce the mature fruit, even though the soil could be good. And the fourth type of soil is that which is fruitful and generous. It produces massive responses, some even 100-fold response, huge number in the ancient world. That if we're really responding to what the Lord is doing, over time, not necessarily immediately, it will change our life in manifold ways. We will be able to see the impact of it in our actions and those fruits of love that flow from faith. So we look at all four of these soil samples. We should, if we're honest, be able to check the box in all four categories. There are times when, yes, we are totally stubborn. We've heard it before. We're not really listening in a way to change. And we need to ask the Lord in response to that portion of our own interior garden to till it, to roll it over. We'll always need that. Even if it's just going to strengthen the good habits that we have, the Lord's always asking for new wineskins to receive what He's pouring out. The faith of yesterday isn't enough. It's a good start. But the Lord wants us to continue to respond to faith today. will recognize in that interior garden sometimes that superficial soil, where we're listening to have our ears titillated, where our major response is whether we liked something or we didn't like it. In those circumstances, we need the Lord to take out that divine jackhammer and just get through that thick layer of rock underneath. And He will. Third, we need to ask the Lord whenever we come to pray to take away our worldly cares and anxieties. Sometimes it's very important for us to name it in the preparation for the Mass. Lord, this is what I'm worried about today. This is where I might be distracted from what you want to say. Lord, this is where my heart's really seeking. Today I have a treasure and trying to maybe get a little bit of a nap in this afternoon because I didn't sleep so much. Lord, I don't know if even it's a fear or a pleasure, but I'm really thinking so much right now about that project I have to do today. I give it all to you. I consecrate it all to you today. Please help it not to make my soil produce immature fruit based on what you're going to do in me today. And then in terms of the good soil, it's always a part of our Thanksgiving after Mass, in which we begin to ask ourselves just what was planted by the Lord within, what He had been waiting from all eternity to do in us today. That's a good opportunity for us to review then, to see if we even remember what the first reading was about, what the responsorial psalm was, not just the refrain, but the various strophe, what the essence of the gospel was. Because if we're not able to remember it even at the end of the Mass, there's very little chance we're going to be able to remember it later. If we can't even remember it then, it'll take a divine miracle for us to bear fruit based on what the Lord has planted. When Our Lady appeared this day, 169 years ago, 1846, the top of the Pyrenees in France, to Maximine, Jerome, and Melanie Calvat, 11 and 14 respectively, as they were shepherding their sheep. She was weeping. We had a chance to ponder those tears a few days ago on the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. But I want to talk a little bit more about her message. You know, Mary is the icon of the fruitful soil, the one who bore incredible fruit. In fact, heard the Word of God in such a way that the Word was able to take on her own flesh, was able to give that blessed fruit to the world, who gives and gives and gives and gives so much more than a hundredfold. But when Mary was weeping up there, she was weeping because of a failure in receptivity among so many. First reason why she was weeping is nobody was praying. Nobody was praying. So many people were taking prayer for granted. And if they're not listening to the Word of God, whispering to them in prayer, if they're not opening their lives up to God in prayer, it'll be impossible for them to bear the type of fruit that the Lord wants them to bear through allowing His power to work through their baptismal consecration. And it so pained Mary that she was weeping copiously. How important prayer is for us to be able to bear good fruit. Second reason why she was weeping is the failure to convert. She lamented that people weren't converting even in Lent. They weren't changing. They were too hardened by their ways. And it brought her again to the point of tears. If we're bearing fruit from the Word of God, it's always going to show in conversion. If we're not regularly converting, we ain't bearing good fruit. Because the first fruit of the Word of God is to say, Lord, your Word is a mirror of who I really am supposed to be in your eyes, who you are who enfleshed this. And I'm not yet there. But at the same time, I know your Word gives me hope, it gives me confidence, gives me strength, that if you're calling me to this, you'll give me all the assistance you know I desperately need in order to be able to get there. But it begins with conversion, for really bearing fruit. a result of the power of the word. And Mary was weeping. People weren't praying and they weren't converting either. Third was that they were blaspheming. They were swearing. They were calling God's name in all types of vain expressions. What a bad fruit that is. That when we were to speak about God, we would speak in such an irreverent way. You know, it's out of the heart that the words come, as Jesus describes very powerfully in the Gospel. And blasphemy comes from a heart that just doesn't know how to relate to God, because it has just been concrete, basically, as things, as God's constant action has been trying to invade that person's life, just been bouncing off. For us, who really received the Word of God aright, it'll show in the opposite of blasphemy just tremendous praise. Not just sort of the praise of others, not just saying amen or alleluia or anything else, but it's really that our life becomes a hymn of praise. And then the fourth thing that Mary was weeping for is that people weren't even coming to Mass on Sunday. They were blowing off the greatest gift of all, which the Lord Jesus wants to inseminate himself, the seed, the grain of wheat that had fallen to the ground and died, in order to bear great fruit, fruit in us as he's sown within us. And they weren't even coming to receive the eternal Son of God. It's the greatest example of spiritual contraception we could ever point to, where somebody's just totally resistant to the greatest way that God wants to unite us to him in love. And it caused Mary to weep. How much would Mary be weeping today when 3 out of 4 Catholics do not come to Mass on Sunday? Not to mention all those who aren't Catholic. Which is why it's so important for us, if we're going to bear fruit from the Word of God, to take the Mass even more seriously, because it's the Mass which makes it possible for us to bear the greatest fruit of all. Not just because when the Scriptures are proclaimed in the Sacred Assembly, as the Second Vatican Council says, it is Jesus Christ preaching live to us through his mystical body. Even when God hijacks Sister Hope's high-pitched voice and my New England accent, it's the Lord Jesus proclaiming his word to us. And then, of course, he brings it to a depth far greater than could ever happen through ears and minds when he himself is implanted. It's the greatest way for us to bear fruit, provided that we live it well. St. Januarius shows us this type of listening. He heard the word of God as a word to be done. When he did perceive that the Lord Jesus was calling him to come and follow, he left everything and followed. And he continued to follow even during the persecution of Diocletian, one of the worst of the 13 in the history of the Roman Empire, of the anti-Christian persecutions in 304. But he remained faithful. And himself became a grain of wheat, falling to the ground and dying. And today, in a sense, his blood continues to bear the fruit of that faith, boiling even in the presence of Pope Francis when he visited a few months ago, as happens on this feast day almost every year in Naples. He shows us what type of fruit is possible, that we can receive the word in such a way that we literally can receive the strength to enter into Jesus' own passion, to enter into Jesus' own self-sacrifice, falling to the ground and dying and bearing such great fruit as St. Januarius' blood irrigated the faith of those in Naples and continues to inspire them now. The Lord Jesus, from St. Paul at the end of his letter to St. Timothy today said, is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, to whom be honor and eternal power forever, has come here today to implant his word within us. We ask him to till that soil. We ask him to jackhammer through those deep layers underneath our surface. We ask him to help take away our worldly cares and anxieties, to give us a fruit like St. January, a soil like St. January, a soil like the Blessed Mother, so that he might sow us as his seed, as children of the light in the midst of the world, for the renewal of this world, as God originally intended when he made the Garden of Eden. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.